It's another episode of your favorite podcast.
Lucky you and lucky us.
Aren't you glad you clicked on it?
Yes, they are. Everyone's glad, but no one more so than us.
Agreed. I'd be more glad if it didn't feel like the inside of a lung today in the past 2 days.
It is truly terrible in New York City.
Truly when terrible.
Oh my God, when these motherfuckers are talking about this heat wave, they are not exaggerating. No. Most of the time I'm like, suck it up, it's beautiful. It is so hot that I'm looking out my huge new window and it's foggy. I like can't see anything because it's so hot.
The humidity has like its own vibe.
I know.
It's just imposing its vibe all over. And you know what? Actually, I went outside last night after there was a huge thunderstorm. And the way the city smells post-thunderstorm is a treat, I will say.
Yeah,
agree. I'm like, that's a nice little treat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I happened upon this little cat that was like soaking wet, just sitting under a tree on the sidewalk, kind of in the open. And he was just like loafing out. And I was like, dude, are you okay? Like, what's going on? Normally stray cats, if they see you, they run away or like they're hiding. But this dude was like just soaked to the bone and just shivering. And I was like, oh no, I feel bad, but I'm going to go get my snacks, which is what I was doing. Bye. And then I came back on the way back and he was still there. So I went inside. I took some leftover of salmon that I'd eaten for dinner and I put it on a plastic takeout container and I like brought it out and I was like, here you go, I guess. Like, are you okay? And I think it was blind, but it ate the salmon.
Oh.
But it just like wasn't focusing and it couldn't see things. And I was like, do I call animal services? I called 311 and they were like absolutely not helpful. They're like, well, it's after hours, so no one will come. So you can just do whatever you want. I was like, what?
They said, fuck that cat.
Pretty much, yeah. They were just like, sorry, fuck a cat. And I was like, okay, I guess.
Well, that was very nice of you. Yeah. I'm glad that you did your civic duty.
Like, here you go. Have a little leftovers. Hope you enjoy. Hope you enjoy this whole food salmon.
Whatever. I love the heat. And it makes me feel very, like, fertile. You know what I mean? Like, here I am being young in the summer.
That's what they say. There's, like, a magic about summer in New York City, which is true. But there's also, like, the armpit of the magic, which maybe when you get older, you're just like, it's just mostly armpit now.
Okay, anyway. We're back for another episode of Smell You Later.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I feel like I always want to say I feel like there's a lot happening in fragrance right now, but then I like never know what I wanted to talk about. But I have all these like ideas throughout the week and I'm like, what a great little note for the show. And then I fucking hit record and I'm like, got nothing. I will say Voicemails released a new fine fragrance today. And I'm very excited.
Wait, they did? I did not get that press release. What the hell?
I didn't get the press release either. I'm like, I got you a Vogue feature and I moderated a panel that you did last week. Send me a fucking email.
What the H, man?
Anyway, sorry. They don't need to do me any favors. It's fine. But I need that. And it's part of their Pride campaign. And if you ask me, Voicemails is one of the only companies out there who deserves to do a Pride campaign because they're a queer company.
Exactly.
They elevate queer voices and they're giving $100,000 to the Trevor Project. So they are opening their purse. They can stay. But Bank of America, I would like to have a word with you.
Let's talk about these fees.
Right.
These fees are homophobic.
Whatever. You can like rainbow wash me if it's cute enough, but otherwise.
Rainbow wash. I'm surprised that no one has come, or maybe they haven't. I'm just not aware of it. That like has anyone come out with like the scent of a rainbow?
We're giving away free ideas.
Free
ideas.
God damn. You know what? You heard it here first. It's going to be published and everyone, it'll be on record that we thought of it first.
Yeah. I wonder what's going to happen first. We get sued or we sue someone who's got an idea.
I don't have lawyer money. So I guess all we'll have to do is just cancel them on social media.
I don't know, girl. They know you got a book deal. They're coming for you.
I have to LLC myself now to protect myself against about liabilities and be like, joke's on you, sucker. This is a failing business. No assets, bitch. Nothing.
It's all right. One of these days.
Anyway, Tynan, what do you smell like today?
So, as you know, I love everything like satanic and esoteric and culty. Like, I would love to join a cult. It hasn't happened for me yet, but, you know, I'm still holding out hope.
And don't you work for Equinox?
Like, not publicly.
Okay, we'll cut that out. Like,
I could get canceled for that.
I was like, just during SoulCycle.
I mean, whatever. What is it? There is no morality under capitalism.
That's true, yeah. That is true.
We're all working for the men, one way or the other. Suck my dick. But I would say that they're one of my favorite fragrance brands, and that's not true only because I really only love one fragrance from them with all my heart, and aside from that I've only smelled one other one, so like I like them a lot, but I can't call them a favorite because we're still getting to know each other. But Wilhelm Parfumerie sent me, well, reached out and was kind enough to send both of us basically whatever we wanted.
Discovery sets.
And yeah,
love a discovery
set. Exactly. So I took the opportunity to loot them and just get everything. And as I was looking at the notes of the scents that I want, do I sound echoey?
Sound what? Echoey?
Do I sound echoey?
No, I think you're just, okay. Your apartment's empty. So it's a natural reverb.
I'm in a huge cavernous apartment with no furniture yet. So as I was looking at all the fragrance notes, I was like, wait, these sound really good. And just in ways that like I hadn't seen before. So I am wearing Moon Carnival, which if you ask me is witchy in all the right ways.
That, like, is my favorite one of all of the ones.
This doesn't shock me at all. Yes. I don't really see it as a sable fragrance because it's not like moody and musky, but then again, I do see
it. It transforms so completely on your skin. I mean, I'm not going to steal your thunder. You go ahead.
No, I mean, we can, let's talk about it. So when I wear this, I feel like I'm holding hands with 12 naked women with long hair around a campfire and levitating. It's just very that to me. Like, am I possessed or am I just gorgeous? That's always been the question. So then let me run you through this because there's a reason I'm starting with the notes.
Okay.
At the top, you have passion fruit, and passion fruit is one of my favorite. One of my favorite fruits ever. I don't think I've ever eaten a passion fruit outright, but everything flavored with passion fruit, I die for. So I saw that and I was like, it's over for me. So there's passion fruit, freesia, bergamot. In the middle, there's tuberose, gardenia, orchid, which is very floral for me. And then at the base, there's marshmallow, tonka bean, and vanilla. So there's a lot of things that I like happening with the passion fruit and the marshmallow and all the vanilla and all that. When I spray it on, I was like, oh, this is not what I thought I was getting myself into. It is a heady, horny floral. It's like a foggy floral. And I will say that I do not dislike it, but it is much more floral than I would ever go on purpose. And like I said, when I put it on this morning, I was like, oh shit. But then I was like, wait a minute. No, this is not something that I dislike. Like, pump the brakes here. It's just like, I see a wet purple and blue flower in the twilight on a beach after a rainstorm with a cat under it eating salmon. It's like,
he made it.
Right. Yeah. If you like florals, or I guess even if you don't like me, this is worth checking out. I'm like thinking through it as I'm talking to you, obviously, because I've been wearing it all day and it never once started to repel me or got stale or gave me a headache or made me want to die. So it's just, it's nice. I don't know. I keep sort of going back to it and being like, what are you? And it wears really beautifully.
Yes.
So they sent things of all different sizes to us, some full size, some minis. This is a little atomizer. So I may not have gotten like the full soak as I would from a full size atomizer, but I mean, I knew that, so I sprayed enough on, and it never, this was something that I was like, oh, this could wear too wide. You know what I mean? And it doesn't. It's just, I don't know. I really like everything about it. And I expected to, and then I smelled it and I was like, just kidding. And then I wore it and I was like, no, I think this is good. Again, not the first thing I would reach for, and certainly not what I thought it was going to be with a top note of passion fruit. But I think the passion fruit and bergamot on the top and the marshmallow and vanilla and tonka at the bottom really pull their weight and keep it interesting. And I think the hero note to me is the tuberose, because it's like floral, but yes, not, you know, capital F flower.
Yeah. I remember when I first sprayed it on, it was like all white florals, like sweet white florals, but in like, not in like a too, like a saccharine way. It was like, it was like kind of well balanced with a kind of powdery muskiness. So I was like, oh, that's nice. And then like an hour or two later, it was completely musky and like smoky on me. It had completely transformed into almost like a feminine to a masculine scent, which I thought was super interesting. But yeah, it does smell witchy. You're right.
Yeah, I think to your point, and you are a noted lover of musks, I think this is like, I mean, there's no musk in it, but it's almost like a, what am I trying to say? A floral interpretation of musk.
Yeah.
Because it does have that cloudiness and that mistiness and that like spectral element.
Yeah.
Without ever having the literal note in it. And to me, there's no outright sweetness to it at all. And I mean, that's coming from me, who just like wants to smell like a pink sugar cube at all times. But I think it is so deftly balanced that the florals never take over. They're always held down by something else and elevated by another thing. I love it.
Yeah, it's definitely, it is a super interesting fragrance. Like, even if you don't like any of these notes, or don't think you do, I think just the way it transforms on your skin is nuts.
Totally. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I love Moon Carnival. Let's go worship the moon. Hail Satan. It's
absolutely.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
Speaking of musks, I am wearing Juliet Has a Gun. It's the name of the brand. Not a perfume. That is the name of the perfume. The perfume is called Not a Perfume. And
that like kind of infuriates me.
I
get it though. They've been around for a minute though.
They've
right?
Like, this is not a news. Yeah. Thing. Like, Juliet Has a Gun has been, I want to say like since the 90s, like, I don't know, or the early 2000s.
Yeah.
But I feel like I was always hearing about the name of the brand as like this kind of under the radar indie luxury. Nobody knows it, but it's like so good. Like, everything they do is so good, but they're still like under the radar, even though they're sold at Sephora. So I don't know how under the radar you can say that is. But apparently Not a Perfume is one of their best selling fragrances. I don't know if it is the best selling, but it's definitely one of their top sellers. And it has one single note in it, which is Cetalox. It's a synthetic amber, and I know you'll hate this, is a skin scent. And
not another one of these. Are we allergic to glamour? Sorry, I shouldn't talk shit directly to my co-host.
Well, it's funny because like, as skin scents go, I mean, okay, like we talked about like Isoe Super on previous episodes, but it's not Isoe Super, which I thought was interesting. And I'm not sure why they selected Cetalox, but when I sprayed it on my skin, I actually got, it smells overall like very clean, kind of like a subtle laundry kind of smell, but it has this muskiness to it that I really, really like. But right out of the atomizer, it smelled so much to me like this other fragrance I like called Cyan Nori from Abel. And Cyan Nori, they feature seaweed as like their main note. And I got I got that seaweed note in this, which is really odd. Not saying like it smells like dirty ocean water, but it has this like saltiness to it. So that saltiness mixed with like the muskiness of the Cetalox, it's almost by definition like the scent of skin, which I think is interesting. And like, I spray my stuff like on my clothes too. When I spray it on my clothes, obviously it smells different, And then that's when I got like the really musky kind of powdery sweetness out of it, which I don't know if that's true for everybody. Maybe that's just my interpretation of it, the way my nose smells it. But, you know, it's not a strong scent. I'm a pretty generous spritzer. And even after like an hour, I couldn't smell myself really. But when I went around outside, like people told me that I smelled good. Mm. And that's like, doesn't normally happen with a skin scent. I was like, oh, whoa. It's like, what? What do you smell? What is it? What is it?
Right. Right. Yeah. That's so, I mean, so they sent that to me too.
Yeah.
And I'm not like in any rush, but I didn't know, because I didn't care, that the note in it is a synthetic amber. And yeah. when you said that, I was like, oh, okay, I'm listening.
Yeah.
I would be much more down to try a molecule scent with, I mean, that is a synthetic amber over a synthetic,
yeah.
essentially blonde wood, like yeah. Isobe Super is.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yeah. They also have a super dose version of it, okay. which I think it just has a higher concentration
yeah.
of that synthetic. So like, sure, I guess. But like, I think it's an odd scent because like, I really like that salty seaweed note, but like, I feel like, I don't know if everybody else would, but I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, it's like completely amorphous. It's not feminine. It's not masculine. It's not strong or soft. I'm like, huh, what am I doing here? I had like an existential crisis while wearing it. I'm like, what is this scent?
Literally, I was having an existential crisis. So welcome.
Yeah. But I don't know. Now I'm just like, again, it's like one of those scents that when people tell me, they're like, oh, you smell good. I'm just like, I grill them. I'm like, what is it that you smell? What right. is it specifically that smells good to you?
Why do you love me?
Yeah. Why do you love me? They're like, I never said that. Yes, you did before. But yeah, it's interesting. I'm always like, when fragrance brands say like, this is our top seller, I feel like it's always kind of like the very mutable one. Like it's never like, I don't know, the strong floral or like the woody one, but it's always this one that you can't quite put your finger on.
Right.
I'm like, man, is that why they do it? But like, what? It truly, it feels like an Emperor's New Clothes situation.
Totally.
But like, I guess totally. In a good way, but still.
Right. Right. So this, can I say that's something like scent adjacent on our fragrance podcast?
Yeah.
This, I don't know, I just like meant to tell you this, maybe off camera, but here we are. Mics are hot. I skipped town this weekend, as you know, and went to a beach destination.
Yes.
And this was not a New York beach, because as you know, we don't believe in those. No. Those do not exist. But we were staying near the ocean, and our room was, you had to like walk through some like, I mean, it was a stone path. So, I mean, it was like civilized, but there was like greenery and dirt and shit around us. And like on the way to the room every day in the same spot, there was something that smelled so much like my grandmother's house.
Whoa.
Like my dad's parents and the first house that they lived in when I was alive. And I can't even tell you, like, I can't even place what part of the house it was, because I probably all smelled the same to me or whatever, but I don't know what it was. I was smelling outdoors on the way to this room that made me like, that took me there, but it was, I swear to God, the exact same molecule. And it hit me like a couple times a day. I was just like, this is it. And I don't know what it is. And I don't know why, but like all of a sudden I am like 4 years old again, like in this. It was just one of those very weird, it's like moments where you like access a memory that you didn't even know you had.
Or yeah. Why.
You know,
yeah. What did it smell like?
That's a good question, because it's like, why is this thing outdoors smelling to me like a thing indoors? And it wasn't a flower. I think it was just, you know how like wet soil smells, or like wet earth.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know. I don't know what I'm talking about, but like, I think like earth in general. it was like that. It was sort of earthy.
What the heck?
Do you hear that?
Yeah. What the heck is that?
Oh, I hope it wasn't a bat.
Are the aliens coming?
I mean, hopefully. Take me. It smelled like earthy, but kind of metallic and cottony too. Mm. Yeah. I don't know. It was just like grandma's kitchen vibes, or maybe her porch. I don't know. Anyways, shout out to her.
Is she still alive?
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to her then. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
She does not know about this demonic podcast.
Yeah. I mean, every time I smell lavender, I think about when I spent half of a summer in London, because I stayed in a neighborhood that was like outside of the city. It was Kingston upon Thames. I hope I'm saying that right. So it was like a little bit suburban, and then all of the people would have nice shrubs in front of their houses. I don't know why. A ton of people just had like big old lavender bushes in front of their houses. Mm. And they were so fragrant. So every time I'd smell them, I'm like, that's some sweet, sweet, unadulterated London smell. And now when I smell it, I'm like, yeah, it smells like that.
Oh.
Yeah. Places, man.
Places.
Speaking of places.
Sable with the segues, as always. Pew, pew, pew. Sable, who do we have on the show today?
We have a very interesting company called Air Aroma. And as their name implies, they scent the air around any sort of space, any sort of contained space. And their whole thing is that they're experts in scent marketing, which, if you're like, what the fuck is scent marketing? Because I was. It's not marketing a scent. It's using scent as a marketing tool in like customer experience, like brand establishment, or just like, yeah, like having
brand like recognition, yeah, and loyalty. And
okay, if you've ever stayed in a hotel, you'll notice the lobby probably smells like something. That's, I don't want to say it is them, but like it's very, very likely them.
It's probably them. Yeah, when I think of what they do, I immediately think of hotels.
Yep.
Hotels, hotel lobbies. Yep. And retail.
Yep, stores, fancy stores. Mm-hmm. Totally. But they do so much more.
Yeah, and it's always like, I do, but most people don't think of how the smell got there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because why would you? You're just like experiencing it.
Yeah.
But if you think, and we'll get into this in the episode, how many hotels have, you know, a lot of hotel merch you can buy because mm-hmm. they're selling that experience and the memory. And a lot of that ties into the smell. And they'll usually have, you know, a candle with a hotel scent, or, yep, you know, bathroom.
A room spray. With it. I have a room spray of the Arlo Hotel, which just smells exactly like Santel 33.
Cancel it.
I think I showed it to you. And then you were like, ah.
Like, that sounds like my reaction.
Yeah, like, get it away from me. And then ironically, the Decium room spray, their like one fragrance product, also smells like sandalwood.
That Decium, oh, we gotta get them on the show.
Yeah.
That Decium scent, I would like to speak to the manager. I don't think it's bad by any means. I'm just like, I think it's really good, but I want it to be like a different smell.
I want them to do more than one. Like, I know sandalwood's really popular, and it's like probably one of the more like neutrally universally tolerated scents in a space, but like, what if you want, I don't know, like I feel like they do such interesting shit that I'm like, you would probably do like a really good like tea house smell, or just like plush carpets. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, they could really go conceptual with it. But I'm like, come on, man. Give it to us. Right. The people want it.
Right.
But
speaking of what the people want.
Yes. We have our guests, Allison Lobe and Laura Nixon. We will let them introduce themselves because I will probably botch their titles. They're both from Air Aroma, and they are going to tell us all about the scent space conspiracy. Just kidding, it's not a conspiracy, but you know, if you didn't know about it, which I didn't know a ton about it, now you will.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Hi, I'm Lara. I'm a partnership manager at Air Aroma. We're a global scent marketing company. We create signature scent experiences for brands. And I've been with the company for about 7 years almost, originally from New York, where our main US office is, and I'm based out of LA now.
I'm Allison Lobe. I am a global account manager with Air Aroma. I am based in our New York City office, which is our headquarters for the North American region. So my job is to basically lead our sales division for the US market.
Cool. So for our listeners who are unfamiliar, how would you describe what Air Aroma is and what they do?
Wait. We got to break the ice first.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So at the beginning of the episode, Sable and I always talk about what we smell like today. And then Now we've been extending it to our guests. So if you both would like to tell us what you smell like today, I think that'd be a fun moment. Lardy, let's start with you.
So I actually...
If you don't mind.
Yeah, that's fine. I believe I sprayed on Sigil, a more Fati perfume. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. Earlier today, but I probably smell like my dog because I just... cuddle with him all the time. And I'm obsessed with the way that his paws smell. So that's my favorite scent.
They always smell like corn chips to me.
Yeah, it's like so earthy and real.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm a cat lady, so I can't relate to that.
Ammonia smell.
No, he's a good boy. Charlie's a good cat. but I am wearing Tom Ford Neroli Portofino.
Ooh.
But I also probably smell like a bit of sweat after coming in from the New York City heat today.
Yeah.
Love that summer sweat.
Oh, yeah.
It has a nice sheen scent to it.
Musky.
Definitely. Absolutely. Very earthy.
Okay, now I guess we can start the show.
Okay. All right. Why don't you tell our listeners what Air Aroma is and what they do?
Yeah, we are a scent marketing company, like Lara mentioned. For anyone listening to this who isn't familiar with scent marketing, it's essentially the concept of creating a scent logo for a brand. So much like a company has a visual logo, we design an olfactive logo for them. And then this is diffused with our diffusion equipment in their spaces. So to use a hotel, for example, that would then be diffused in the hotel lobby, you know, any public spaces where someone might walk in and encounter the fragrance, and then create sort of a memory association with the scent and that brand.
That's so cool.
So it's a really powerful marketing tool.
So we like to say that we can translate a brand identity into a scent. So, you know, we're often kind of composing a bunch of different elements of who a brand is and what their space is, you know, because we're actually scenting a space. So that is always an important factor, you know, and encompassing their identity into a scent, which then is, yeah, a constant sort of part of their brand, their space, which is able to communicate with guests on a more subtle level, emotional level, having like a more direct memory impact.
Very cool. It's a whole experience.
Yes.
Allison, did you call it a scent logo?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Can you talk about that?
I mean, I guess you just did, but like, if you were to, like, what is a scent logo? If you could expand on it.
Yeah. So I guess just as every brand has their own visual logo, which is a visual representation of who they are and what they do, we would then create a scent logo. So taking those same concepts, you know, what is your brand? What are you selling? Who's your customer? You know, what's the feeling you're trying to evoke as a company? We take all those things into account and basically make a scent version of that for you.
That's so cool.
Whoa.
Yeah. So everything is fully customizable. So, you know, what we're going to make for, let's say, a teenage girl's clothing store is going to be much different than what we're making for, you know, a 5-star luxury resort, for example.
Right. Of course.
We also have, you know, the aspect of our business that's like direct to consumer. We have a web store with smaller diffusers that people can purchase for their home. We have, you know, a few candles. We have our retail range of fragrances. So we're kind of like a 2-part business in that way. Like definitely the bread and butter is the custom scent design, scent branding aspect. But we also do provide our technology and fragrances for, you know, any homeowner or any individual who wants to scent a physical space.
That's so cool. Do you ever get super wealthy clients who are like, I want a scent for my Hamptons home?
All the time. We do a big residential business.
I knew it.
And I wish I could tell you the names of some of the like musicians and actors, like, who've, you know, been in their homes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have these.
You know, some Oscar winners in there, you know.
Oh my God.
I'm waiting for like the Architectural Digest home tour where someone's like, and I have a custom scent.
I know. I'm like, yeah, we need to make sure that's mentioned. Yeah. They're there. They're out there. Yeah, that's definitely something. But I mean, the interesting thing is, you know, we have a smaller diffuser. It's definitely on like more, it's still in the high-end luxury market. You know, it's so different from like a little humidifying diffuser that you got off Amazon or something. It's totally different technology. But, you know, we still get a lot of people who just want to have one in their apartment and just create that like high-end experience at home. But I definitely would say it's common that, yeah, this is like a, you know, luxury market type of a product. Some people will contact us and want to send their entire, you know, 15,000 square foot home. Wow. So we're like connecting to every single air handler unit possible. And but yeah, it's interesting. You know, I mean, if you have the goods to back up that kind of project, then mm-hmm. you can really create like a true cohesive scent experience at home.
I was just going to say, I aspire to that level of wealth.
Or any level of wealth, honestly.
I know.
One of those things went viral the other day where somebody like left a $16,000 tip on a receipt. I'm like, I want to be that rich someday that I can do that.
I saw that. Wow.
That's another level. The goal.
Yeah. That's wild.
Lara briefly mentioned our website where people can purchase a couple items for themselves for their homes. But outside of that, we do offer full consultation programs where someone can just, you know, reach out to us directly and we can help guide them through the whole process for their house, picking a fragrance, picking the best diffuser for their individual home's needs. So yeah, everything can be custom, even for just a home.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So cool. How do you get into scenting spaces? I mean, did you start out in fragrance and then go take it to what you're doing now? Like, was your background always in scent?
No, actually, it was honestly something I never even realized could be a career. I mean, I always loved perfume and candles and all those things growing up, but it just never occurred to me that like, oh, this is something you could do for a living. So I actually came into the company in sort of a roundabout way. I had moved to the city after college and was working in fashion and just decided it wasn't quite right for me. It wasn't something I necessarily wanted to do long term. And so I went through a recruiting agency and just said, hey, I want to stick with something in the creative field, but this just isn't it for me. And they sent me on an interview for Air Aroma. I had no idea what it was, but fell in love with the company and have been really fortunate to be here for over 8 years now and have just sort of worked my way up. And yeah, it's something I just really had a knack for, I guess, and have been really, really fortunate to spend so many years here.
That's so cool.
Great.
Yeah. Similar to Allison, you know, I definitely think it's a niche industry and then a niche product as well. So I think it's rare that you would maybe go out and seek this specific type of company or product. But yeah, things kind of aligned and everything felt like super right for me. And it's just the more time that I'm spending with fragrance, I'm finding it's like somehow further, even more enriching my life on a day-to-day basis. And I'm like still kind of falling in love with fragrances and just incorporating the act of smelling like throughout my entire day. And I just find it like such a rewarding industry to be in. And then especially the way that we work, because we can work with like other industries as well. We're kind of part of that creative design process. We get to work with like such a wide range of people and, you know, be kind of in this specific area of a design aspect. But my background is actually in dance, like modern dance. So also kind of an elusive art form, you know, any like live performance is, you know, disappears as it's happening. So I like that this kind of has a bit more lasting power, but it still has that sort of like mystery. And it's still so deeply personal as well. But yeah, I did have an experience when I was 15 in New Orleans with a hotel scent that when I had the interview with this company, I was like, oh my God, that's what this was, you know? So, which is kind of, I don't know, I'll just quickly kind of go over it because it's kind of ridiculous. But I had a friend in high school who's doing like her Girl Scout Gold Award project after Hurricane Katrina. So I basically kind of tagged along with her, and we were going to distribute crock pots to people who were displaced from their homes after Hurricane Katrina. And her mom had to stay in the Ritz-Carlton, New Orleans, while we were doing this service trip, which was just like, I don't know. So it was, very high end. I think I wasn't used to like staying in places like that, but it made that experience so memorable, like, because it was such a luxury factor. And I don't know, it's just like this very, French quarter, like stone floor. And then it was like this open atrium ceiling. It was this, like, garden floral scent. And yeah, I mean, I didn't, realize what I was smelling at the time or how that even worked, but it totally clicked, once I spoke with Air Aroma. I mean, just being able to provide that for other people around the world kind of created this really exciting opportunity. And still, I think that's so rewarding now when we just hear from people like, oh my God, I stayed here and it made my experience amazing. I'm obsessed with the scent. How can I take it home? So yeah, I mean, in simpler terms, like, we definitely think that scent just like increases satisfaction and joy and just makes people happier to be in a space. So I think that it's just exciting to be a part of that.
Everybody has a scent memory, whether it's as simple as, the smell of chocolate chip cookies makes me think of my grandmother or whatever it may be. And that is essentially the crux of what we do, is creating those memories. I'm sure you guys have talked about this before on the podcast, how our sense of smell is tied to memory and emotion. Have you guys already?
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
So we don't need to rehash that here, but that is the whole idea behind what we do, is that you have this beautiful scent created for your brand. And then by giving a great, again, to use hotels as an example, by providing a great guest experience, coupling that with the fragrance, you make that stronger memory association, that stronger connection with your customers. And you create that sort of brand loyalty and brand awareness even more so.
It's literally always a hotel.
It's the biggest. Yeah, it's our biggest client base.
That's the bread and butter.
Yeah.
They were the first one to sort of adopt this concept and really understand the benefits of it. And it's just blown up from there. So we work with any industry you can think of. Hotels are obviously the biggest, probably followed by retail, I would say. Tons of residential, as we already discussed, but then, I mean, we do everything. We've worked with artists on some really cool concepts for, art exhibitions, medical practices, fitness, airlines, cruise lines, anything you can think of.
It's so wild.
I'm trying to remember the last time I took a plane and it actually smelled nice. And I'm like, maybe I just don't take nice airlines.
So for airlines, we do some onboard stuff, but the majority of them are doing like the lounges.
Then I'm definitely not in those lounges. Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely more common than onboard scent.
So has scent marketing been around for a long time, or has this sort of been more of like a recent discovery of experiential business?
Yeah, so we were founded in 1998. So what is that, 23 years ago now?
Yeah.
And so that's when it began.
Wow.
We have, not us personally, but the company has an Australian background. It's like family founded. Mm. So we, started in Melbourne over 20 years ago, and then now have, a few global offices and distributors in other countries. So it's definitely still recent, compared to other types of businesses, obviously. But yeah, I think like Allison mentioned, I definitely would say that within the past 4 or 5 years, it's become much more common to expand within other industries besides hospitality. Like boutique fitness brands. And then, there's also that, I think someone mentioned like immersive experiential activation things. Like, you remember, I kind of feel like we're past this like segment in time, but you remember when there was like, the Museum of Ice Cream, and it was like Instagrammable spaces, right? Like that whole situation is basically when that conversation of creating spaces that touch on all five senses, I think, became more of a discussion and more mainstream, and people hungry for like an in real life memorable experience after just so much digital overwhelm.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's still transforming.
That's cool. Is it really difficult to measure the impact a scent has on a space or a business? Like, what if a business is like, we're going to incorporate a scent experience, and all of a sudden they're just like, our sales just skyrocketed. Like, how else do you right. measure that other than anecdotally?
Yeah, I mean, there actually are lots of studies that have been done about the effect of scent. And of course, it depends on what your goals are. So using your example about increasing sales, there's been tons of studies on it saying that people will not only buy more, but spend more for the same exact product in a scented store. So there is that element. And then there's also, you know, maybe it's not about the dollar so much, but about the overall experience and the impression that you're giving your customers. I mean, that's a bit hard to quantify. But yeah, I guess it just depends on what your goals are. But there certainly are studies and ways to measure ROI and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, also people lingering longer in spaces. I know that's on a few studies as well, that they're more likely to stay in a space if it's scented. So then therefore probably more likely to purchase something or have a greater, you know, memory experience with the brand. But yeah, I think there's, when that happens, like it's usually the individual company might do their own internal research. Like they might, you know, send out a survey or something and ask if people notice the scent, do they like it? And I mean, yeah, like from what, you know, some of our clients have shared with us, it's pretty much across the board, like very pleasant, very excited about it. So yeah, I think, like anything, it's going to be not like a numbers thing. So of course right. it's going to be a little bit anecdotal.
Yeah. And we can also help our clients in that regard through custom candles and other retail products that we create. So if you've got a scent with us and you're, you know, a business, we can create retail products for you in your fragrance with your logo. And then you can actually sell those to your customers and make a direct profit off the scent that way.
Wow. Of course, the first thing that pops into my head is the Abercrombie & Fitch store.
Yes.
And the Hollister store, which are famous for like pumping, what was it, Fierce, their fragrance throughout the store. It like would spill out into the mall. I remember that. You could smell it like down the corridor. Yeah. And like that's, like that's the most intense version I can think of like scent marketing. And I'm like, what is this?
No, I was going to say, we kind of, it's funny when people reference that because, yeah, that's like basically the far end approach of what we do where it's like in your face, like really aggressive. Like we definitely prefer a more subtle scent. You don't want it to be, you know, punching you in the scent or punching you in the face with scent. Yeah, Allison, you can speak more on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think just based on our four reactions from that little comment, I think we can all agree that's, you know, maybe what not to do with a scent. We do, as Lara said, go for more of the more subtle approach. It's meant to amplify the existing experience that you're already providing. It's not meant to be the experience.
Right. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. But, you know, that being said, we certainly can do that. All our diffusers are fully adjustable in terms of the scent output. So if you're looking for that super strong, impactful fragrance, we can do that for you.
Just dial it up all the way.
Right.
Oh, God.
Maybe for those experiential museums like Lara was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The waffle cone scent in your face.
I think there is in development a scent museum, I want to say in Washington, D.C., but it's very small. So I'm wondering like how...
Oh, cool. I haven't heard about that.
Yeah it's like a really small thing.
Oh, I'm going to Google this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Allison, I think we went to a few like, they were more like pop-up things of like the history of scent and different types of scent. I think that was at Metropolitan Museum of Art a few years ago.
I think we did something at the History Museum actually once. I can't remember. It's been a while, but yeah.
Yeah, it'd be good if there's like a long standing, you know, institution.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Or like other scent experience pop-ups that you could interact with, because I feel like so many brands, of course, they're trying to figure out ways how to basically ingrain themselves in people's brains with like targeted marketing and then just like viral ads. And scent is like the last frontier that you have to get people to the space in order for them to experience it. I know probably Apple is going to like come out with some sort of like stench diffusion on an iPhone or something.
Yeah. It's like the last frontier, but it's like the most impactful, yeah. You know what I mean? Or it definitely yeah. could be. It's like, it's right there for the taking.
100%.
I know. Yeah. It definitely still feels like a best kept secret at this time, but you mentioned Apple also. So this was like sort of a random project we did a while ago, right, Allison? I think it was yep. in Australia. It was like for an art installation and they wanted us to create the scent of when you open a MacBook. And it was like diffused in, wow. the, I think, open museum space. So yeah, we were able to create that and it just got like crazy press and, you know, yes. it was never bottled to sell or anything, wow. but had all of those like aluminum and plastic
components. How so how cool. do you even create a scent like that? Like, what do you do? Do you like examine the actual product and then like
yeah.
pick the molecules? Wow. That's insane.
Yeah, oh yeah, we just melt it all in a pot. And then
use it, steam it out.
No, I want the scent of a brand new Barbie.
Ooh. We can do that.
Yeah. Mattel.
Like rubbery and fruity yeah. and yeah. sugary. Oh my gosh.
The plastic yes. hair.
Yeah.
Yes.
yeah, they do always smell kind of sweet. And I'm like, what is that? Do they add that?
No. That's how I want to smell. That's how I do smell.
What would you say, other than that, like, what would you say is like the most unconventional or unexpected kind of space or brand that has worked with you guys?
That's my personal favorite. I just think it's so interesting. And it's one that yeah. we got a lot of press on. So yeah. other people think it's pretty interesting too.
yeah.
But we've done some really cool things in the past with, we've done a scent for Campari. We've done a scent for Ooh. Dom Perignon. And obviously those places don't have their own physical stores. So it was mm-hmm. more for company events that they did. Oh. But basically taking, for Campari, for example, taking the smell of the liqueur and turning it into a scent with some other elements in there, of course, to create this really interesting fragrance experience.
And that was at an event, right? So that yeah. was just like a one, yeah.
Yeah.
One time thing. Yeah. I find that really interesting with like food and beverage, you know, because mm-hmm. obviously scents exist within those. And so if you're able to kind of, yeah, like pull something new from that. I know I worked on this project that was in like an immersive dinner theater experience. And we cycled through four different scents through the night, like to coordinate with each act. So each act had a different meal course, a different like orchestra style, like piece of music that they were playing, different installations, lightings, all that. So, you know, we had like the scent of like, I think dirt, some type of chocolate, like a mushroom, or maybe the mushrooms with the dirt. Wow. Yeah, so that was interesting.
Yeah. You
know, just a totally different idea than like a long-standing scent branding aspect, and more mm-hmm. so the immersive style and just sort of enhancing what's already there, like, you know, enhancing the scent they may be experiencing while eating.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's so
cool. I would love to smell what you guys did for Dom Perignon, because I feel like champagne is used in fragrance a lot, yeah. but it's never right. You know, it's never right. It's always like the idea of right. champagne.
It's like the effervescence and the bubbles.
Yeah, or exactly.
The Dom Perignon scent isn't actually a champagne-based fragrance. It's actually designed. It was actually designed to reflect where it's made. So you get like some really woody, musky right. notes. My French is terrible, so I can't really tell you the name of the where it's created. But yeah, you get sort of those like cellar notes. It's really interesting, and we can send you a sample, but it's not a champagne fragrance, unfortunately.
Okay.
That's even cooler though, because they're taking you like into their space in like a much more intimate way.
It's like the history of Dom Perignon in a scent, as opposed to smell some champagne.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm like sort of assuming that creating a scent for a brand is a little bit like, you know, they give you a brief of what they want to create and then you create it and work with perfumers. Yes.
Yeah.
But like home fragrance and space fragrances are so, to me, in my experience, when I smell them, are so different than like fine fragrances or don't know, what else other kind of scents are there, but
like even body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
how do you think the approach is different when creating a scent for a space rather than like a fine fragrance?
Yeah. So I would say our fragrances are right up there with fine fragrances in terms of, you know, quality of ingredients used and composition and things like that. The only, I guess, difference is the actual application. So obviously if you, a perfume is going to go on your skin. So there might be different ingredient restrictions in that regard. Mm. Also, then it's obviously going to be blended with alcohol and water. Our fragrances are just pure oils, so there's no additives in there. And the composition, I guess, might be slightly different in terms of what's going to linger most in the air as opposed to on your skin.
Right.
So maybe we have to use a bit more, you know, dial up the percentage of citrus or something to help that, you know, really come across when diffused.
And then I think the fragrances that we develop for our range, you know, obviously we have to listen to our customers and what they like and, you know, provide like a wide range of universally pleasing scents. So like, you know, our tea-based fragrances, for example, a white tea or green tea-based scent is very commonly used. I mean, a wide range of people in different, like, you know, regions around the world like to have it in their homes. So, you know, we're going to have a lot of those. And I think with the custom scents, we have a bit more creative range to kind of go down that hole of really discovering, like, what is at the core of this brand and, like, how can, you know, what elements can we pull from to create something really special and unique so that you're not just smelling, like, you know, a citrus scent, but you're smelling, like, your brand that has these really unique identifiers.
Was there, has there been a note or a fragrance that you thought was a risk or sort of out of left field that became like a surprise success to you guys? Because I'm guessing that going into it, like when you're being briefed, you see a lot of the same ideas coming in and you, it's your job to like make those unique to the brand. But is there something you've done that's been like a smash and you weren't expecting it? I mean, obviously all your stuff is good and you know it, but...
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because I guess I... personally, I'm not the one like creating the scent, you know what I mean? We're like conceptualizing it. But I feel like maybe the Langham ginger flower, like I just remember when I smelled that at first that I was surprised that it was such a strong fragrance, I think, that was like used around the world. But that's like a brand-wide scent, right, Allison? The Langham ginger flower. And that's definitely like not a safe tea fragrance, you know, like that's very... intense and kind of sweet, but like a darker, rich floral.
Are there anything that you find that, I mean, it's a complicated question because you are making fragrances for the most part for other brands, but things that you find people respond positively to sort of across the board, like, you know, it's going to be a surefire?
Yeah, definitely the green or white tea scents, like I mentioned. And honestly, I feel like I would stop there because you want to think that citrus is, people are like split on citrus. I find like, I think people are just over it because they smell it in like cleaning products and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Or they're very excited by the freshness of it.
That's sure. The thing. I think citrus and like rose, for example, kind of get a bad rap from for citrus cleaning products, like you just mentioned. And rose, you think of like your grandmother's perfume, but if it's done nicely and with really high quality citrus or rose notes, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Totally.
So I think, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of putting it in front of the client and saying, give me a chance, smell this. Yeah. And then they realize what they've been missing out on.
I don't know if this was like an afterthought to the other thing, but I was just thinking like a lot of our standard scents as well kind of focus on like one note, like fig essence is fig, vetiverine is very vetiver, for example, ambergris is like classic amber scent. And the custom scents are like much more nuanced usually, you know, if that's the direction that the client wants to go in, where it's less obvious what the notes are and it's more just like an overall mood or feeling.
Do you ever have like trend forecasts for what sorts of scents or moods are going to like inform the types of scents that people want to smell in their spaces?
Yeah, we actually do a lot of that. A couple of years ago, we sat down with I can't name any names, unfortunately, but a major personal care brand to talk about what the trends are for fragrance, you know, what are the scents that they want to be putting in their products over the next 5-10 years. And we've been seeing that actually come to the shelves lately, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
How can you even forecast something like that out that far?
5 years?
Jeez. Yeah.
10 years?
I mean, no way.
Yeah, I remember we've been reading how a lot of home fragrance brands have been selling out throughout the pandemic because people are home and they want to, you know, have a nice experience in their home. Have you guys also experienced that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I would say there was a shift. Yeah. March, April last year, we started catering more content, I think, to homeowners, a lot of people just getting diffusers and candles and things for their homes. And I noticed too, just, you know, reading through articles and things that was mentioned quite a bit, you know, creating like designated zones within your home and having, you know, like a scent become part of your ritual of when you're, you know, unplugging from work or whatever and going to beat over to the next room.
I mean, yeah, if you're stuck in your house all the time, you want it to smell nice and comforting, you know, regardless of the fact that there's a pandemic going on. And then when you add that into the mix, scent becomes even so much more important because of the effect it has on your emotions, you know? How can you, you know, help yourself de-stress with all this going on? Maybe, you know, maybe you burn a candle with your favorite fragrance, something to calm you down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think it's interesting how scent has kind of become a bit more talked about, you know, through the pandemic, obviously because of just losing your sense of smell being such a common side effect. And, it's been really kind of, I don't know, I guess reassuring that there's a potential to rebuild that, you know, and it's like just working any muscle, training yourself to smell new things every day or smell the same things. That's kind of been, you know, in the forefront of my mind is just that awareness of, oh my gosh, like, you know, losing that ability to smell would be devastating.
Yeah. Especially for us.
My nightmare.
Totally.
Yeah. I was actually reading an article a couple weeks ago about people who've lost their sense of smell due to COVID and doing scent training to sort of get that back. So looking at a photo of a lemon and smelling lemon and, you know, doing some training with your olfactive to get that back, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. In people who are studying Alzheimer's disease, they're using scent as a way to like kind of pin reminders for people. So like in hospitals or facilities, they'll scent a hallway that's orange with like citrus, for instance, to be like, this is your hallway, or like there's a lavender hallway that goes to the cafeteria. So like they can remember things that way. It's really cool.
We've done some work with plenty of work in the medical industry with senior living facilities in particular, where I guess they have trouble getting residents to eat. So we've been diffusing some really, you know, sweet or savory fragrances during meal times to help stimulate appetite and get the people to start eating more so they can keep their strength up and stay healthy. Yeah, it just has such a profound effect on everything. There's been studies about diffusing lemon in the workplace leads to higher productivity.
That's really important work if you're getting people to eat more and, you know, sustain themselves.
It's not just all about, you know, making something smell nice. There's, you know, a whole bunch of science behind what we do. And there's the opportunity to do some really meaningful work.
Wow.
Can you walk us through what it's like creating a branded scent for a client?
Yeah, so we can talk about that in loose terms.
Sure, you don't have to divulge any names.
Name all of them.
Yeah, I mean, we can, I guess, give you like sort of a general overview of the process.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, cool. Larry, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So it's, you know, kind of similar to what you mentioned, where we're basically just having, you know, multiple conversations with the brand, just learning more about their brand ethos, you know, maybe taking a look at the space if we're nearby, just basically like pulling everything we can to get a sense of like who the brand is, who's their clients, what kind of like message is being sent, you know, through all the different formats. And then, yeah, so, you know, it kind of varies by project. Like some clients will know that they want something like sandalwood, for example, and then just kind of want to go from there. Other times they'll give us like full creative license to kind of just create something totally original and unique based off, you know, the information they share with us. But it is, you know, it is a mutual conversation, but obviously like we're the ones doing the conceptualizing, the design work, production, manufacturing, all of that. Yes, it's funny because sometimes like clients will be kind of like afraid of the process. Like, does this mean I have to literally like mix things? I'm like, no, it's okay. We got you, you know, like it's just about all the sort of details that go into any creative process, right? So it's multi-layered. And then, yeah, well, you know, it can be a really short-term project or it can take a bit longer. Again, just depending on the needs, but we'll basically come up with like a few original scents and then, you know, modify as needed. And once it's selected, then we can get it ready for production and either the ambient scenting or the products or both.
Do you ever do like crowd testing or like do you have a testing room where you'll diffuse it and be like, stand in this room?
We do have, yeah. I mean, maybe not for strangers, but I guess internally we have all kinds of little test smells and things going on.
That's so cool.
Have you ever, and I realize you can't name names, but have you ever created a scent for a brand that became like a really huge hit for them? So they then look to you guys to, you know, create the fragrance in candle form or body form or something. I'm thinking, just as an example, that Anthropologie candle that everyone's obsessed with. Like, what if you had made that and then made it a candle for them and then it was just a hit? Like, do you have any success stories like that? That like, oh, it may be something that like I have in my apartment right now and you it came from you guys.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. We do that all the time. So, you know, if you've got this gorgeous scent, why not capitalize on it? Why not make the candle, make the room spray, make the reed diffuser? We even do bath amenities like shampoo, conditioner, body lotion, all that kind of stuff. You can have the scent in pretty much any form you can imagine. Wow. So yes, we do that a lot.
Wow.
That's over like the power that has.
Power.
You know? That's wild.
Can we give absolutely. Any examples there, Allison?
Yeah,
so I guess we can say one of my personal favorites is South Congress Hotel in Austin, Texas.
Cool.
I'm not sure if you guys have ever been there, but it's this beautiful, beautiful fragrance. Minty, smoky, green, and earthy. It's absolutely amazing. And we've made some really nice candles for them that they sell in their lobby gift shop. And so the idea is that obviously you stay at the hotel, you smell the scent, you say, oh my God, what is that? How can I buy it? You buy the candle. And then when you're smelling the candle at home, you think about your stay in Austin. I really need to go back there. I should book another trip to South Congress Hotel. And then it generates that repeat business that way.
Wow.
Another one we've worked with for a while is Sofitel. So like a global, you know, luxury hotel company. We did like a new rebranding scent for them a few years ago where they did like a pretty large scent rollout with custom products as well. So yeah, everything's like custom branded package with the candles and room sprays as well. So yeah, it's always a nice, I think, mutual partnership when we're able to get to that level because, you know, we maybe started with one space and sometimes this will expand to like hundreds of locations, right? And then you're creating like an additional revenue stream for them. And yeah, I think it just kind of helps with that like emotional connection to a brand, which everyone's trying to create. But sometimes I think like the more subtle ways, less obvious ways are sometimes the most impactful.
Or on the flip side, to do it in reverse, we work with Virgin Voyages. It's the new cruise line for the Virgin brand.
Oh, cool.
And before they even launched their first ship, we had created this fragrance for them and they were selling it as a spray. So they did a big launch. They were calling it Ship Number One. Smells like ship. And did all this really cool and fun branding and advertising around it before the scent was even being diffused in a space. So yeah, there's all sorts of ways
that's
to do
true.
It.
It's a hype scent. That's so cool.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Leave it to Richard Brand to be innovative.
Right.
We've talked so much about hotels and hotel lobbies and all that. Have you guys heard of that candle brand that launched within the year called Hotel Lobby?
Yeah.
No.
I know nothing about it other than the name. And I think they launched with 2 cents. But yeah, it was just inspired by this girl going to all these hotels and being like, I love the way they smell and I want to like create my own. But it's just so odd that that's always the reference.
Yeah. I think it's like, I don't know, maybe it's because it's creating like an elevated version of a home. Maybe that's like the allure of a hotel is kind of like a fantasy version of your bedroom or your home or something.
Totally.
It's like staying over at like a really fancy friend's house.
Right.
Oh, I mean, yes. Hotels are selling like every part of the experience now. You can buy the pillows that they use and the towels and the robes and all that kind of stuff. So why not buy the scent?
Right.
I thought that was because people would always like take home the robes. So then like
they just steal them.
Yeah, like people would steal the robes and then obviously they would charge them on their card for incidentals. But then after a while, they're just like, all right, we'll just sell the robes so people don't steal them.
Yeah, something changed along the way there. Yeah. They either noticed an opportunity or they were fixing a problem.
Yeah.
But it's like, if I'm stealing, I obviously don't want to buy them. So I'm going to steal it anyway.
Or maybe you didn't know you could buy it.
That's true. Okay, that's a better, that's yes. a more positive spin.
Yeah.
Give them the benefit of the doubt.
Other than hotels, since we've been talking about hotels, are there any particular specific types of environments that you think would benefit or experience the most impact from scent marketing?
There's no environment that wouldn't benefit, honestly. After hotels, retail is definitely our next largest client base because of reasons that we mentioned previously, you know, increasing sales, getting customers to linger longer, maybe they'll spend more money for the dress or the book or the shoe or whatever it may be. And then there's also obviously the opportunity in a retail store to then have the candle and all those other things that they can do just to help drive up profits as well. But yeah, I mean, what environment wouldn't benefit from smelling lovely?
Yeah. I feel like hospitals need to get in on this because like everyone hates the smell of hospitals.
Right.
Because, you know, if you're there, it's usually not a good reason. So like you don't want to be reminded of that. So, like,
we do a lot of hospitals, a lot of dentists for the same reason. Nobody likes going to the dentist. Sorry, dentists, if you're listening.
Okay, I like going to the dentist.
What? Nobody likes like going to the dentist.
I think it's like, I like it. It's like torture, but fun. You know, you're like,
I was going to say, I'm like, have you never had a cavity? Like, is that one?
No, I've never had a cavity. Oh, so
there you go.
Exposed.
Me neither. Yeah. I still hate dentists.
I had braces twice though. So I've been through it.
That's fair.
Wait, I wanted to circle back to something that, Allison's talking about retail stores. And yeah, I just wanted to draw that line with like, the mall situation, right? Mm-hmm. Like we all are like, I think I wrote a bit about this on one of our blogs, but just like the age of the mall has like totally transformed and a lot of retail brands are basically like completely refiguring their retail spaces. It used to just be like that one formula in a mall, you know, where it's just like stores lined up and whatever. It's very like, that's where you go to shop. Yeah. Now everybody is spending, you know, most people do online purchasing. So when they do go to a retail store, they either are having a brand new experience with the brand or they already have an established relationship that they've, you know, done online shopping or browsing online. And then they're going to this retail space to kind of confirm like, you know, am I really into this brand? Do I really want this product? So there's that opportunity there where they're already kind of have a shoe in with you, you know, where they're interested from your online presence. Does that translate to the in real life, like connection as well. And so, yeah, I think there's been a lot of like innovation in interior design within the retail spaces as well. It's less important to have like a ton of products out all at once and more important to showcase like a few, you know, characteristic items of the brand. And so, yeah, just every element of that interior design is just more important, I think, than it was before.
Yeah. And so much more about the in-store experience is just the experience, becoming more experiential with retail design and what people are actually doing in their stores. It's not just about going to purchase an item. It's about the overall brand experience. You know, you read about stores doing all these unique things. Like I was reading about how Canada Goose, you can go try on a coat in this like sub-zero refrigerator room to see how warm you're actually going to be in this coat. So it's not just about handing over the cash. It's all about the brand experience.
Totally.
Yeah. That's a really good point of like, it's so much more of a battle to get people even in your store. And when you do, it's, you know, you got to give them a reason to be there and then come back.
Exactly.
Fragrances, I'm sure, a big part of that. Wow.
And yeah, what's going to set me apart from the store next door that's also selling shoes, you know, the scent.
I 100% aspire to have my own custom scent in my home that probably no one will enjoy but me and maybe a few select people because I never have people over, but I need to have like a custom home scent.
I don't think I want a home scent after we did this episode. I don't want a home scent. No, just because like, I just always want to, I want to be the, you know, the attraction.
Right, right, right. But
then again, I don't know. I get it though.
I get it. I mean, if I ever reach the level of obscene wealth where I have multiple homes, then I'll do it. Then it's worthwhile. I don't know. I feel like everyone's home like has a default smell though.
Yeah, but a lot of times it's not intentional.
That's true. But do you ever, do you ever like go away, you go away for the weekend or whatever, and then you come back to your home and then you're reacquainted with your own home smell?
Yeah. And every time I smell my own place, I'm like, oh, that smells good. Thank God.
Yes.
You know, but it's always like, what am I ever doing? I'm always spraying perfume and like,
exactly.
Like holding candles. I'm never lighting them, but I'm always, you know, something always smells good around me. So it's like my house better smell good. What am I doing this?
Yeah. For? I feel like my apartment, whenever I go away and come back, it always smells like kind of like a nondescript, but like vaguely fragrancy scent. Like I guess it smells just like a subtle mishmash of like all of my perfumes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That was one of the interviews that going into it, I was like, I know what this is going to be. And then I didn't.
No.
Like it was so interesting to me and they really opened my eyes to, I mean, like, yes, of course we know the power of scent, but it never like ceases to amaze me just how it works itself into literally every part of our experience with everything.
Well, it makes me wonder too, and maybe just because I have a devious mind, that if you can use scent to market things and to make a brand logo and all that stuff, how would you use scent for nefarious purposes?
Of course, that's where your head goes.
No, like what if they're like, they figured a way to like brainwash people through scent? It's like Josie and the Pussycats.
Your default thought to anything is how can I make this like, villainous?
Yeah, I'm like, how do you use it for evil? Like subliminal messaging, but like via scent. Right. Like, how do they do that? For instance, like, okay, if you can use scent to, what's the word? Like, get people's appetites going.
Yeah.
How long do you think it is until some sort of like insane wellness influencer is like, I made an appetite suppressant scent so people won't feel like they need to eat.
You pay Kim like, K $2 million and she'll do it.
Yeah. Like I'm sure someone out there is like, oh my God, thank God.
Right. Right.
I've been waiting for this my whole life.
You know what? I wonder if there's not already at least like, you know, if not holistic, like a DIY appetite suppressant scent that people, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. I feel like
we do not condone this, by like, the way.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I should stop going like giving people ideas. I'm like, just smell rotting things.
Right.
It'll trigger your natural disgust.
not
untrue, but yeah, I'm not trying to encourage anyone's disordered eating.
This is a pro food podcast.
Yes, we love to eat. I'm so hungry now.
I'm the same. We're always doing this right on fumes.
We're always doing this. We're always recording and we're like, I haven't eaten in 5 hours. I forgot to eat today.
Literally. Like, am I starving? Time to record a 2-hour podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm smelling all my perfume samples to be like,
to satiate yourself.
Anyway, it's dinner time for us.
Yeah.
So
we're going to go and eat.
We're going to go and eat food. follow us on Instagram. We're at smellylater.mp3. I'm at Sabletoothtiva.
And I'm at Ten and Buck.
Leave us a review.
Yes.
And 5 stars.
Yes.
Please.
Please.
And you will get nothing in return.
But... nothing in return. A plethora of episodes.
Yeah.
Content.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll get well, you're going to get content anyway. But anyway, just do it.
Lucky motherfuckers to have us.
Yeah.
And we to have you.
Yes.
I'm spiraling. Let's go.
We got it. This is the hunger talking. Smell you later, guys.
Smell you later.